Before he was George Costanza on Seinfeld, Jason Alexander was a Tony-winning Broadway musical star. You also know him from movies like Pretty Woman and Brighton Beach Memories, and guest star appearances on Community, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Harry's Law, and The Grinder. Alexander will display his talents as a singer, actor, dancer, and comedian when he performs with the Cincinnati Pops Friday through Sunday. You're in L.A., Jason?
I am.
Okay.
Where winter looks strange.
Particularly for a Jersey boy, right?
Exactly. Still, after all these years, I haven't gotten used to it.
So, Jason, how often do you get to go out and perform with the Pops Orchestra like you're doing here?
Over the last couple of years, fairly often. I think we've been doing, averaging about 10 orchestras a year.
The Pops publicity says your performance will be kind of autobiographical, a, quote, retelling of his journey to and from the Broadway stage with great music from theater along with some comedy. But what does that mean? What do we expect to
Boy,
see?
I don't know. Who came up with that?
You didn't write it?
No, I. You know, it's so funny. They ask for press kits and publicity kits. We give them everything they could ever want, and then there must be somebody on staff who goes, I'm going to rewrite it my way. It's actually not horribly wrong. The only thing I tend to balk at is when you hear about autobiographical, it sounds, to me, I immediately go, bring coffee to stay awake. It's not quite that droll. It is an evening of Broadway music, with the exception of one song. It's all songs from the theater. And it does kind of loosely talk about my love of and engagement with the Broadway theater. That is sort of the spine of the storytelling show, so that it's not just one random song after another. It's a kind of an eclectic. I've seen a lot of actors and singers do pop shows. I think mine has a bit more comedy than the average one, both musical comedy and patter comedy. Not to say there aren't some hopefully touching and dramatic moments along the way as well. And it feels, I think, a little more intimate. I try to push against the formality of a symphony hall as much as I can.
Can you name a couple of selections you'll probably sing?
Yeah, I don't like to do it because it's so much more fun when it's a surprise. But I will tell you this. There is one number where 7 people from the audience, who I pick at random on that evening, will come up and join me in order to make a full performance experience. So the audience always has to be ready for that because I do not accept no. And grand finale of the evening is a medley of great songs from great Broadway shows, great Broadway characters that one might think I would be inappropriate to play.
Okay, I can live
so
with that.
It's called the Inappropriate Medley. And so now if you're a Broadway kind of guy, you can sit there and go, what wouldn't be in that? Because he's really, other than Fiddler on the Roof, he's appropriate for nothing. So it's a fun way to end the show.
So do you do any magic? Wasn't it your first dream to be a magician?
It was, and I talk about that ever briefly. I would not call what I do in the show magic. It might be like a ooh shiny moment, but it's not magic. No, in order to do anything that would be truly magical, I would have to travel with bigger stuff, and I carry enough props with me as it is. So no, I'm afraid not. If you're coming for the big magic trick, you're going to be disappointed.
But you started into magic, and then what, you kind of realized that doing theater on its own was kind of like one big incredible magic act?
That is exactly right. I talk about that a little in the show, too. So, yeah, I thought when I was a kid that I really wanted to be a magician. I was pretty serious about it. I mean, I studied and I put in the hours, and I wasn't very good. And then when I fell into doing community theater and school theater, I had that epiphany of going, oh, wait a minute, it's a big magic trick, and fell in love with that and sort of refocused myself on that.
You were back on Broadway last year in Larry David's Fish Out of Water. Was it fun to get back on Broadway?
Fish in the Dark. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I missed the stage. When Seinfeld ended, the only reason I didn't immediately run back to New York and go back to the stage was because my sons were relatively young at the time, and doing 8 shows a week, you never see your kids. That is the sacrifice you make because you're always going out the door when they're coming in. So we had the luxury, thank you, Jerry Seinfeld, of making the choice to not go back and do that and be an at-home dad and try and give the kids as, whatever normal means, but as normal a childhood as possible.
You seem to have done it all. You know, Sondheim and Neil Simon on Broadway, movies, TV series, voice work. You even did a Super Bowl commercial, and you won a director award for one of the Seinfeld episodes. Wasn't that the one where Kramer?
I didn't win it. I didn't win for that. I won. I was nominated for a Directors Guild Award for the Seinfeld episode. The only directorial award I've ever won, and of course you would have to think of me when you think of country music. Your first thought is Jason Alexander. I won a American Country Music Award for directing and starring in Brad Paisley's Online video.
So you've done a director, you've been executive producer, actor, singer, dancer. Is there something that you wanted to do that you haven't done?
Professional curling, John. It eludes me. No, there's nothing that in my business where I go, ooh, I never got to explore that. I can tell you that the two things that give me the most challenge and the most satisfaction right now are the two things that most people don't know me for. One is directing. I find directing more engaging usually than performing at this point in my life. And the other one is teaching. I teach acting students all over the country. And I'm thrilled by that. I'm always just so happy being in a room with actors working on craft and learning about craft and making these discoveries. So those are the two areas where I'd love to dedicate some more time going forward. But we're always on the lookout for that wonderful project as an actor where you go, that is worth putting time and energy into.
After Seinfeld, you starred in two series, Bob Patterson and Listen Up. Do you think you'll ever go back to TV?
Sure. We have some things in development now. In fact, we're taking a series idea out probably in a week or so. The difference about the series is, well, first of all, the two follow-up series to Seinfeld were not successful for, I think, a variety of reasons, but at the end of the day, just were not successful. And it reproves the truth that television is just hard to do, and it's even harder now because there's so much more of it. So success has a very different definition now. It's also harder to grab an audience. There are so many choices, almost to the point of being a glut of choices, that it's very hard. And from my side, when you sign a contract for a series of any kind, whether it's cable or network, you are generally signing a 5 to 7 year deal. And I am now of an age that when I go to put my name on that paper, my hand shakes because I go, do I really want to be doing this 5 years from now? And it's a total crapshoot because you don't know what you're getting into, really. If you have a cast and a writer's room, these people are all new to you. So it's all a little daunting. However, that said, I think it would be great fun to have another one, especially one that makes some noise.
This idea that you've got, did you pitch it to a network or an Amazon, a streaming service, a cable, or isn't it? I haven't got that far
yet. All of the above. Particularly with this idea, I don't think it works as well under the confines of a network show. So this would be more of a cable or a streaming show. And frankly, almost any actor you talk to these days is very excited about the world of streaming because it has far more creative freedom. And you also, you know your fate fairly quickly. And those schedules for those shows are fairly flexible. So if you have another project, there isn't a season, so to speak, like there is on network television that you have to be slavish to.
Well, really, in the Seinfeld, Friends, Cheers era, they talk about a golden age of television, but that's really where we are now with so many options, so many different places
you can
find TV.
Yeah, you bet. And particularly in the drama world, there is so much exquisitely fine drama work being done. There's some very good comedies, but comedy, and it's not because I'm a comedic actor, comedy's just harder. It's harder than drama. So to get a really good comedy is very hard, and the ones that are really breaking through right now are actually alternative comedies. They're almost like sketch comedy shows, like Key and Peele, like Amy Schumer, Portlandia. They're not your standard, here's one group of characters, and we go to their situation, and we laugh with them week after week. It's much harder to do that, and it's almost becoming a dying breed.
Well, since we're talking about comedy, and we're on the air here in Cincinnati, I got to ask you about one of your first TV series, a CBS show called ER with Elliot Gould, and this young fella from Cincinnati named George Clooney as Ace.
Yeah, kind of a wannabe, kind of a hack.
So what are your memories of working with George, and did you think he had a big future ahead of him?
I don't think anybody at the time, we all knew George was talented. Here's the one of the great things I can tell you about George. And I don't see George that much now. I bump into him every now and then. But when I do, and everything I hear about George, he is the same guy now, except more mature, as he was back then. George was a delight. He loved working. He loved being with people. He was funny. He was a bit of a practical joker. He had a ton of life and a ton of energy and was just a great guy to hang around at all times. Did we know that he would become what he became? I don't think so, only because I think one of the glorious things that happened with George is that as he hit his mid-30s, his face, which was wonderful as a young actor, took on a kind of a profundity as an adult that opened up all kinds of possibilities for him as a dramatic actor. He was kind of a goofy kid, but he could evoke a very not goofy presentation as an adult. And, you know, he's one of those guys where that kind of success couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But the ER that I was part of was just great fun. It was my first job in Hollywood. It was really my first serious foray into television, and it was a great learning experience. We had so much fun. I can't tell you if the show was good, bad, or indifferent, but it certainly had a high pedigree cast of people that I got to play with. So it was great.
Beyond the TV project we talked about, you got another movie? Are you going to be doing more appearances with Pops?
I have a movie as a director that is in deep development that could very well go in the fall. There is a theater piece that I may be doing outside of New York, but the intention is to bring it into New York. There's sort of a couple of irons in every possible fire, as there has to be, because most of the time actors hear no more than we hear yes. So you develop as many things as you can. And then there's these shows. I have this show, and I also have a sort of long-form stand-up comedy show. So I get to perform just about any time I want to. That's great because it keeps those muscles happening all the time. And then I get little things like this recurring role on The Grinder, which has been so much fun.
Right.
And the blessing and the curse of a career like mine is that you honestly on Monday don't know what's coming on Wednesday. And often there's a glorious surprise. Something that I do not know about today is probably the next big thing that will happen in my career. So if you have been as fortunate as I have to have made a comfortable living and you don't have to worry about, well, I don't know if I can wait for that next big thing. When you've been given my blessing, it's just kind of fun to hang around and go, ooh, I don't know, let's see. Creative people have to create, so it's nice to have lots of outlets to do it with.
Well, we're looking forward to your visit here at the Pops where you can show off all those different talents. Thank you, Jason, and enjoy your visit in Cincinnati.
Thank you so much, John.
Jason Alexander performs at the Cincinnati Pops Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon at Music Hall. For a link, go to wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm John Keesler.